This is The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
You cannot tell me, you cannot look me in the face and tell me that America is the greatest country in the world when you have people who cannot have access to quality health care for no reasons other than their insurance provider denied them.
$100 billion and somebody needs a $100,000 operation or treatment and you don't want to pay for the medicine. I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's scary.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio at The Avenue, here's Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, along with Denise Thomas, the effective communication coach. If you want to check out all the things that she does, just check out realcomcoach.com.
Thank you, sir.
All the things she can do, and she can help your company become great.
I have to be very, very grateful. I'm going to have a gratitude moment, Dr. Ken. Business is doing really well. And here's the crazy part. Contrary to popular belief, all types of humans, white, black, Hispanic, Latino, Asian, straight, gay, non-denominational, spiritual, all types of humans patronize our firm. And I want to be clear, I'm not trying to paint a picture that isms do not exist. I am just trying to remind people that you cannot allow agendas to deter you from winning in life. There are things that we are going to have to accept. However, with that said, Dr. Ken, there are things that we can also change and influence. And the more that I am open to having dialogue with people who do not look like me, the more that I am open to collaborating with people who are different from me. See, diversity is simply one thing. It's difference. That's all it is. And it could be difference in perspective, difference in experience. You and I are very diverse.
From each other.
Very diverse. Yeah. And I appreciate that. Because here's the thing. This is what society, let me not even say society. I'm just going to give a real example.
Come on, be unfiltered.
This is my unfiltered. You and Dr. Ken don't like each other. What are you basing that on?
The way y'all
just
argue.
Stay with me, Dr. Ken, because y'all disagree. You fight on air. Ah, so because we disagree,
right?
That is the factor that determines that we don't like each other.
Correct.
I was a guest on Sherwin Hughes, who is also a fellow colleague on our sister station, The Truth, 101.7 FM. What's up, Truth Nation? I know y'all listening.
What up?
And Sherwin asked me, because this was after, you know, I stepped away from the morning show on The Truth, and he asked me, you know, how am I doing? I heard you and Dr. Ken have this new show. Why did you ultimately leave the morning show?
Mm-mm.
And I said, well, there are a variety of reasons, but mainly I want to make sure that the listeners and the viewers of Good Karma Brand stations, whether that's ESPN, TMJ, The Truth, receive quality talk radio. They are informed. They are entertained. They are inspired. Those are always my main objectives.
Yep.
When I have the privilege, and it is a privilege to be on TMJ as well as The Truth. That is an honor because I have a platform where I can speak and people listen, whether they agree with me or not. So ultimately, the reason why I chose to step away from the morning show is because I cannot work in environments where mediocrity is normalized. And we are becoming a society of where mediocrity is being normalized. I don't care, Dr. Ken, as many times as you and I disagree, and we go at it, y'all. In that same instance, I would much rather, I prefer, I appreciate working with people like Dr. Ken Because guess what? I don't like being the smartest person in the room. I don't like being the only person on the team that wants to give 100,000%. I know that's not a real numerical value, but just stay with me. I'd rather partner, co-host, collaborate with people or a person who has the same commitment to excellence, even if I disagree with their perspectives, even if I disagree with their opinions. We may not necessarily even have the same core values, but if we can respect each other and align on giving our end users, our consumers, i.e. the audience, a quality show. And see, that's what's wrong with society, because we're, while one hand is doing this, and if you can see me, oh, be scared, your life is over, D&I is dead, you're gonna die now too. Versus, okay, what is it going to take for me to continue to thrive in this thing called life? For myself, for my family, for my network.
Yep.
And working with Dr. Ken, I don't have to worry about you complaining, you not showing up on time, you not being professional. And I definitely learn from you.
Same
so
here.
So we got to get back to what we allow people to give us as part of our influence versus, did you make any money off of sitting in that corner and watching the news and saying, oh my God, D&I is dead, my life is over, versus, okay, it is what it is. So now what can I change? What can I influence so that, again, I'm continuing to be great, I'm working with great people, and I'm giving the listeners what they need and what they deserve, and that's the best. That's it, Dr. Ken. I'm done. That's
well, one, my truth, unfiltered. One, I appreciate that, and thank you for those wonderful accolades. Number two, when you're with me, you're not double negative. You're not the smartest person in the room, because I think it differs based on topic and information and experience, and so I think we go back and forth. Number two, you said you was done talking last hour, and you kept going.
No, I do that all the time. I'm done. I'm like, look, I'm like a Black Baptist church preacher. You know, like, I'm going to close, y'all. I'm going to close. I'm going to wrap it up.
For the 13th time.
If you attend a Black Baptist church and you hear the pastor say, I'm about to close, you might as well get ready for a whole nother hour.
Well,
at least.
I think you should probably add the fact that if he's only been preaching a half hour and he says he's coming to close,
You go to the one I grew up in. You go to church, Sunday school, church for 3 hours, revival. Don't even get me started.
You remember when you used to go to church in the morning? You go to Sunday school, and then you go to church, and then you went home at 8, and then you went back to church because there was always a 3:30 or 4 o'clock program.
Oh, wait a minute.
And then in Chicago, we would leave church and then go. Well, that's if I didn't eat in the church basement.
I was going to say, we had dinner in the cafeteria downstairs.
And then after that, we would then go visit somebody else's church because at 6 o'clock somebody had a broadcast. And then in Chicago, there was a Church of God in Christ pastor who had church at midnight on the radio. So when you're done, you got like a 12, 16 hour, like it was ingrained. But those are the different cultural things that you get to learn about people when people are different from you. And I think we've just, personally, I think DEI took us away from that. It took us away from experiencing the fact that I can appreciate the difference. All I'm asking is, through affirmative action, level the playing field so we can appreciate everybody. And that includes us. It brings us up. And I want to start talking to people. And if you have a comment, you know, call or hit us on the talking text line at 855-616-1620, the Siting Unlimited. Talking text line. I really want to dig into, not from a Black perspective, what causes people to just utterly and totally dislike DEI?
I'm not going to be as refined as Dr. Ken. Dear white people, because we know y'all listening, call in. See, Dr. Ken, you're being all refined. I'm going to be unfiltered. Dear white people, please call in or text us at 855-616-1620. Now, on our, let me make sure I say it right, Siting Unlimited talking text line, Peter shares observation opinion. President Trump is clearly not, and he puts in parentheses, as he claims, standing up for the common man, but rather he is all about bullying the U.S. government at all levels to make whatever changes, and he put that in air quotes, he can get away with that primarily benefit himself and fellow loyal business tycoons. And then pelletently blame anyone who gets in his way for hindering his efforts to make America great again. Peter, thank you so much for sharing that observation. Now, Dr. Ken, Peter says that President Trump's administration, under his bullying leadership, is going to make whatever changes they can get away with that going to make him greater or his loyal business tycoons greater versus the actual country and the common man. So
which is what most presidents do. That's what most presidents do. I'm not saying it's right. I don't agree with some of the things that President Trump is doing, like birthright. But in the end, it's the president's prerogative. How many of those 200 or so executive orders are going to stand? Who knows? He's testing the waters, right? So when people complain, for instance, this is the duplicity. This is the double-mindedness of people in America on both sides. You actually sat there and complained that President Trump pardoned the 1,500 or 1,600 people for the January 6th riot, which I don't think was true. Some people should have been pardoned. Some people should have went to jail. It shouldn't have been a blanket. Biden did the same thing multiple times before he left.
Some people should have gotten
pardoned?
You believe some people should have been pardoned?
Yes, some of them should have. Some of them were literally
a talk show.
Some of them weren't in the place. They were literally standing outside, and because they were on camera, they got prosecuted. So I think an understanding and following the rule of law, and many people disagree with the rule of law.
They could have gotten inside. They would have gotten inside.
But we don't know. But I can't blame you for what you might have done when you didn't do it. So
spoken like a true law enforcement officer.
So I can only blame you for what you do. It's not bad being a law enforcement officer. I'm retired.
But
what we need to understand
should have been
But here's my point. Biden pardoned people of his 1,500 people. One of them was a judge from Luzerne County in Pennsylvania, Judge Chivarillo. Judge Chivarillo was known as the Kids for Cash judge. He actually got paid a finder's fee of well over $1.5 million, $2 million to build a new county jail, a new county detention facility, made it private. And then every kid that pretty much came to his court, he sent there so his buddy could get paid. To the point.
We weren't talking about President Biden. We were talking about President Trump.
That's what I'm saying. We're several kids down. What I'm trying to say is that every president has the power to do what they do. But if we're going to complain about one doing it, we need to complain about everybody. We can't make a blanket statement about everybody that was at January 6th the same way we can make a blanket statement about black people when crime is committed. Not every black person is a criminal. They might have been there, but that doesn't make a criminal. All I'm saying
every
is that
last one
everybody,
of people,
that's
Dr.
your opinion,
Ken,
and I can appreciate that, but I disagree. I think that every individual should be thought of as it relates to what they did and prosecuted for what they did.
You guys go ahead. I'm just going to stand out here because I don't want to break the law.
You can say it, but the video says otherwise.
And watch. So the video says
otherwise. Now, this is a perfect example that people don't understand that
really, Dr.
Denise
Ken?
And I differ, but for different reasons, but we still understand the magnitude of what January 6th did, and it never should have happened. That's how you do me when you disagree. Look, that's just how that's how she do me. You know what? We're going to break. Citing Unlimited, tucking into his lines. 616-1620. Listen.
Are you kidding me, Dr.
We love each other. Hey, I'm just trying to play the middle guy. That's all.
No, you did not compare.
Play the middle guy. I can compare whatever I want.
Against black people.
I can compare whatever I want.
1,600 people that showed up on Capitol Hill.
Actually, I compare Biden's 1,500 to the 1,600 at the Capitol. But
we're not talking about Biden.
But no, I am. See, I can do that. I can do that. Can I?
You can do
when we come back, I'm going to ask permission from from Denise Thomas on what I can talk about.
That's going to get you far in life.
Hurt my back. I know that's right. You're listening to Truth Unfiltered on TMJ.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
You guys, you need anything? I know you guys are about to go and attack the Capitol,
262,
but I'm just here to watch and support.
210 said, be careful, Dr. Ken. She's going to cancel you. I think she already did.
Hey, you guys need Uber Eats? Anybody hungry before you guys go in there and
ain't nobody saying that. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying, I'm saying January 6th was wrong. But if we're going to prosecute people, I don't think it should be a group prosecution.
Let me just say this really quick. The person who said, Dr. Ken, be careful, she's going to cancel you. I don't cancel people. I'm 48. I don't have the power or authority to cancel anybody. So, yes, I will disagree with Dr. Ken as much as I love and respect him. However, I am in no position to cancel anyone. I'm not part of that culture. So,
and I can push all the buttons
you were
here
joking
I want.
Or not, I don't
ain't
cancel
nobody
people.
Going off. 855-616-1620, Citing Unlimited, WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Al, you are on Truth Unfiltered.
Oh, we got Al! My dear Al.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Al, you just love me so much. You're going to come wherever I go, don't you? Boy, I tell you.
Just what? I like you, Denise. You say what's on your mind. I like that.
Thank you, Al. I like you too.
Talk radio. I like conversation. I like hearing what other people have to say, believe it or not. The question about what makes people crazy about the DEI, I think I can only answer for myself, you know, being in corporate America and they send you to the courses. I was trying to think back to the first time I encountered a DEI class, and that was maybe 20 years ago, and it was at the big insurance company downtown.
Well, remember, they didn't call it DEI 20 years ago.
They called it diversity.
Right.
They called it diversity training. So I remember the class was led by a woman. I assume she was from the LGBT community, and she was a bit masculine. And I remember her sitting there with her legs wide apart. And I don't know why that is the burning impression of my mind, but I think we all know when we go in the workplace that we need to get along and treat people courteously. I think it's kind of felt an affront to assume that everybody is racist. Everyone has a bias, regardless of whether you admit it or not. You have a bias, but I think it's a preachiness that people don't appreciate and singling people out by their physical characteristics and kind of making that the focus rather than let's just treat everyone courteously. I have a friend from the Biden administration that I was discussing this with over the last day, and he was mad because they were taking away the DEI. He's like, well, DEI, you know, sends out people from the government to recruit at, like, the black colleges to get people into careers that they might not have considered. But after 60 years, don't we have enough minorities in management, federal government, that they could make wise decisions about diversifying the hires? And what happened to
what are you basing when you say Al, when you say, because you know I love, you know, when you say these things because it's very thought-provoking, when you say enough, what does that mean? Like, what is enough? Is there a numerical value that's associated with we have enough people of color? Because you know I don't use the word minority, Al, you know I don't use that.
Yeah,
that's not part of my vernacular. So what's enough?
So I think back when I was hired at the big insurance company, and the person that interviewed me was a female, and she was African-American, and I think there was another female that was white, and I got selected as a candidate, and I remember when I was looking for people or I would refer people, I referred other minorities, African-Americans, to the company, and they got hired. But I refer them not just because of their skin color, because they were really good at what they did, and they impressed me from other jobs that I had worked with them at. And I think after 60 years in the federal government, we should have enough minorities placed throughout the organizations, different departments, that when they go out and recruit, that they are looking and selecting diverse candidates and based on their qualifications? And do you need a contracted DEI firm to send someone to a university to recruit for the FBI or for the IRS? Why aren't those managers in their department having budgets that fly down to the universities and participate in career fairs?
Well, Al, I think, and again, just I'm going to keep it real with you because you didn't answer my question, but that's okay because I know that's what you and I do.
I'm sorry, what was your question?
How do you qualify or how do you measure enough? When you say, I think there's enough minorities, and again, I don't use that word, I'm using yours. But my thing is this, Al, it's not about checking a box. It's not about saying, it's not about quantifying. Because that's where I do personally as a black woman. I don't ever want somebody to say, well, you know, we only hired you, Denise, because you're a black woman. You're a double win.
Right.
And I've heard that many times in my career. I've heard that. And I want to be clear to people who are anti-DE&I because they think that people of color, or especially black people, because you know there's a huge stereotype, Al, even in 2025, that black people are lazy. I still don't understand how a whole race of enslaved people that built a country with no compensation could be considered lazy, but that's neither here nor there. What I'm saying is this, it's not about checking a box or saying that, hey, we got to have this many. And that's how DE&I has been socialized and even marketed, which I get for a lot of people, including black people. That's not what we're asking. That's not what we're demanding. That's not what we're expecting. Mm-hmm. We're expecting that if you think that I am the most qualified, and we got to go to break. If you feel that I'm the most qualified for this position, based on everything on my CV, my resume, et cetera, hire me. But then when I get in the room, don't allow me to feel as though I don't belong. That's where the inclusion piece came into play.
Right.
And the equity piece, I'll talk about when we come back from break. Because again, people are associating DE&I with discrimination when DE&I is about just being a normal human being, which I think all of us ultimately want to demonstrate. We'll be back.
This is The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to us on 101.7 The Truth and 620 WTMJ. By the way, the Siding Unlimited TMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. 414-828 said, I went to school in the 1990s with black kids who were bused into my school in Wauwatosa via the Chapter 220 program. The vast majority of these kids excelled in school. I also made friends that I probably would never have met without that program. There is value in diversity programs. That's true. But what it also is what? All things being equal. However, how did the white kids do? Did the majority of them excel? Yes. And so what it shows is that we can hold our own when we're given the resources and the instruction and things like that. And that's all we ask for. That's all we want. That is what affirmative action is about. Leveling the playing field that caused us not to be able to win, not to be able to get the job, not to be able to be qualified by some person who decided in their brain that I'm the majority and so I'm the only one, I'm automatically smarter. But when you create a program that makes people think in the back of their mind, and yes, I'm talking about whites, well, we hired Denise, but did she get hired because she's black or is she a good leader? Well, that's a problem with the person. That is a problem with the person, and that's something that affirmative action should get rid of. And I don't know, well, can you really change a person's heart? I don't think so.
Let me just clarify. And as much as I appreciate the listener's intention of saying that he benefited as a human being of having exposure and experiences and healthy relationships with black students, it was not as a result of the DE&I program. Okay, so back in, let me just give us a quick history lesson, American history lesson. On May 17th, 1954, the Brown versus Board of Education outcome forced desegregation in schools, okay? On September 7th of 1971, a man by the name of Taylor Creates ordered the busing system for desegregation after the Brown versus Board of Education forced desegregation in schools. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is that because, again, this is what we have to understand. There is a distinct difference between DE&I programs and initiatives versus laws that were put into place as a result of cases like Brown versus Board and the Civil Rights Act. Programs and laws are two different things. Now, you benefited, which I appreciate. You publicly have let us know that there is power in embracing difference. That is a part of DE&I, because diversity, you can Google the definition, you can look it up however you choose to understand what a word means. Diversity is simply difference. The inclusion is what you experience. You experience, because of the busing system for desegregation, you were able to foster a relationship with someone who was different from you, both racially, both from a neighborhood or socioeconomic standpoint, which to your experience made you a better person. The resistance that we are experiencing with DE&I is because, this is my opinion. I always want to clarify, this is my opinion.
Right.
This is not a fact. But the reason why there's so much resistance with DE&I is because it was presented in a way that was a reaction to George Floyd when the world was in a very vulnerable position. The importance of embracing difference, the importance of having representation in the workplace, in the schools, in all public facilities, it is important. Even growing up, like inviting people that are different from you that you appreciate or you respect to your home for dinner. That's inclusion. So the definitions of the words, it's not a bad thing. It's something that's very helpful. Because if I am running a business where my consumer base, excuse me, is different from me, but yet the C-suite decision makers don't look like the people that are buying my product, that's a problem. I'm coughing, so I'll be quiet, Dr. Ken. Maybe that's my sign to be quiet.
Well,
but I had to clarify that.
Well, and I think one of the things we tend to forget is one of the mishaps we had out of Brown versus the Board of Education of Topeka, Kansas, was that that particular group of Supreme Court folks, justices, added that phrase with all deliberate speed. All the woman wanted were the same books that was in the white school at the black schools. They took that phrase, all deliberate speed, and said, oh, well, let's speed this up then. They closed all the black schools, made all the black principals, and I'm generalizing, made all the black principals and teachers janitors because they couldn't teach in white schools, hired one or two of them and said, see, we hired them, and ended up decimating black schools in the South. So this idea of a person saying the way to fix this is not to make their schools better and give them the resources they deserve. It's to close them and send them to our schools because, you know, our schools are just better just because of the fact that they're predominantly white schools. That has permeated our society to today. So while I can appreciate 414-828, I have an issue with the fact that we had a program in Wisconsin, Chapter 220, that in their brain, we got to ship kids to a suburban schools because, you know, the city schools aren't good enough. Well, they were good enough in Chicago. They were good enough for me. They were good enough in Evansville, Indiana. They weren't good enough. So at some point.
No, they weren't.
Well, okay, I was just trying to be nice. Trying to be inclusive. So one of the issues is this assumption that white is right and black is wrong. And I have an issue with that. I have a major, that's a trigger for me. And I'm not a trigger guy, but That's a trigger for me to make the assumption. Well, you know, this is right. Like this is the way it should be. Why? Why can't there be some diversity in thought, in spirit, in what you do, in what you say? Like it's just bizarre to me.
If you disagree with me, then I'll cancel you. That's right. Where we are right now in society. Yep. If you disagree, I'm going to cancel you. Yep. And oh, by the way, Dr. Ken, you know, versus me actually looking in the mirror and holding myself accountable to being qualified,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to put all my time and energy on focusing on why you are trying to take away a platform where I make commercials.
Like we're going to die on the altar of TikTok? Wow.
Yeah. Again, I'm okay with TikTok being a complimentary platform to growing your business, or for those that use it to learn about. I'm not on TikTok. I mean, my business is on TikTok, but I'm not like as a person on it. And I hear my friends say, oh, I go to TikTok to get some good recipes. I love that.
Right.
But when I hear legislators standing on the hills of Capitol Hill, on the rotunda of Capitol Hill saying, I have citizens in my district that will lose their lives if TikTok is banned. I'm like, say what? Say what?
Hey.
That's the problem now.
Hey.
That is the problem now. Dr. Ken and I have talked about, again, cybersecurity. We've talked about trade positions. You don't even have to go to college for 4 years. You don't have to go to college for 2 years. You can get a certification, HVAC, plumbing, mechanic, electrician, and make day one
a couple of hundred thousand. Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
But we're too focused on TikTok being banned. And then again, being a person who embraces difference, being someone who wants everyone that is around them to feel included, and then making sure that people have access and that you meet people where they are. That is all part of being human beings.
Yep.
But what we did was we packaged it and we used the wrong language. And I'm saying we, as people who are advocates for humanity, and a certain demographic got nervous.
Right.
Because they felt their power was going to be taken away.
And that's what I want to talk about.
Somebody.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
And
when
they voted
back
for somebody. Yeah.
Why are people so upset? If somebody can tell me why are people so upset about DEI? Like what is it actually? Like if you had to pick one thing. Siding Unlimited, talking text line, 855-616-1620. If you can pick one thing as to why you don't like DEI, I'd love to hear that. Truth Unfiltered, Denise Thomas, Dr. Ken Harris. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
As we close out these last few minutes, I want to ask, what is it? We've been talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion from multiple points of view. I've been talking about 2 minutes, and Denise has been talking about 957,000 hours. And
amen.
So we want to really, you know, ask in these last few minutes we have left. We have about 9 minutes left. What is it about DEI that gets under your craw? Like what is it about DEI that makes people just get upset, get mad, get like lose it? Like what exactly, what is it? Like, I don't know. Like you think there's a, you think we're getting a quota because quotas are illegal. The part of affirmative action that got overturned, and I tried to explain to people when it happened at Harvard, they did not overturn, and Texas and Michigan, they did not overturn affirmative action. They overturned the quota that they used to utilize affirmative action. Affirmative action didn't go away. Like, it's not going away. It's an act. It ain't going to, it's in the federal statute. It's not going away. What we miss is I can't go, okay, so you're 14% of the population, so we're going to have 14 people. Why? Why can't we have 50 out of 100 if you're qualified? But somewhere, affirmative action is supposed to fix the piece that tells people that they are in that job if they're black or white because of affirmative action. Well, you can't make that generalization because affirmative action made all things being equal. And we all took the same, you know, exam and got the same questions and did the same interview and got the job. So don't be mad. But what are you missing? I don't know. I'm just, as a friend of mine said today, I'm just confused.
It's a lot. There's a lot that we are processing this week in terms of headlines, news headlines. And I just want to say this before we wrap up, Dr. Ken. These are, I guess, my closing thoughts, my informal closing thoughts. However you feel, however you voted, at the end of the day, I want us to get back to, and I hope that we all consider this as human beings, getting back to appreciating difference.
Yep.
I feel like we're becoming a society where if you don't look like me, if you don't think like me, if you're just not like me, then there's something wrong with you, or I fear you, or I just don't want to understand. And I am a living, breathing example or testimony to the power, even when I was the only one in the room. And I've been in way more rooms than not where I've been the only one. And versus me, you know, being combative or rejecting, I embraced it because it helped me as a person. I have friends from all walks of life. I have colleagues, and I do publicly want to thank and acknowledge the clients that support and believe in my business. Even those that are predominantly white. And they say things like, Denise, we may not have a formal DE&I initiative or program. However, we still believe in the power of inclusivity and in giving the autonomy to our employees to be innovative, critical thinkers, while at the same time embracing their identity. That is what I hope that we will continue to consider as we try to make significant positive impacts and progressions in this country and in this world. Again, it's not about a label. It's not about three letters. It's about the power of humanity and embracing and appreciating people that are different from you, that have different views, but have the same fundamental desires that you have. And that is to be great. And that is to thrive and to be able to have a productive and abundant life. That's my closing.
And we also have the same human frailties and the same human fears, the joys of family, the joys of children, the joys of friends. And it's either going to be applicable to everybody or it's not going to be applicable to anybody. So if you want the right to live where you live, if you want the right to get a good, decent job, to get a good education, it's got to be for everybody. And that's what should make America great, is the inclusivity. And when you feel like you're not being included, this is why you get the pushback. When you feel like people are fighting because they're losing something that they never really possessed anyway, then I get confused when you say or assume that we're just not good enough. But yet we have places like the football, basketball, baseball, where there's really no affirmative action. Well, no, technically there is affirmative action. All things being equal, everything became unjust. If you're a good player, you get to play. Now we have some black coaches, black quarterbacks, right? There had to be a concerted effort to say, we're going to go with the best. We're not going to assume or say our leader, the quarterback, has to be white. They just have to be good. And that's all we ask for. Now, if they could do that in the... Now, the problem with that is that the good old boys club called owners won't let us in. So then what do we do? start your own league, do your own, right? So sometimes it comes down to, I want to have access the same way you do. I want to have education the same way you do. I don't want yours. I'll build mine. But I don't want yours. I just want to be able to have the ability to build mine.
And I don't want a handout.
And I don't want a handout. I want to earn it because then I get to keep it. And when I earn it and I keep it, I'm kind of okay with that. So, late breaking news before we break. Denise Thomas, the Super Bowl in 2 weeks will be with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hey, Jalen Hurts, call me boo.
And?
Your fine self.
And the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wait a minute. What? Oh, yeah, that's right.
They just played. They just won. So those of you that have it on, I probably should have did one of those. Well, you're off you. I'm gonna bust your bubble. So I'm gonna say the winner, but too late. So the Chiefs and the Eagles. So at least we got the Midwest and the East Coast. If it was Washington and the Eagles, I would have went somewhere and, you know, painted my basement and watched the paint dry. Because yeah. I think it'll be a good
one. And also, breaking news, I'm about to go make a salmon with avocado and cilantro salad, just in case you were wondering. I'm so excited.
Can I make a public declaration?
And I found the recipe on New York Times, not TikTok, but yes.
Can I make
a public... There is life outside of TikTok.
Can I make a public declaration?
Please.
I have never tasted avocado. What's the other green stuff? Is that it? Avocado?
Guacamole?
Guacamole. I've never tasted guacamole. Right. Everybody I know, my God, it's so good. I've never tasted it.
It is. It's life-changing, but I get it.
I can't do green. That light green, it looks like throw up.
It's healthy for you as well. Avocado is.
I'm not calling
it. Guacamole is where you start getting all the fat stuff, but avocado, just straight up, healthy.
I'm not going to find that out.
Okay. To go eat my salmon.
Now, salmon.
Avocado and cilantro.
Now, salmon, some cilantro with some buttered salt and pepper on some asparagus on the side.
No butter, no salt, no pepper.
Okay, that's you.
That's not healthy.
No, that's you. It is.
I'm not adding saturated fat
to
my salad.
You're not. I am. See, we just differ.
Well, you're
about
in great
everything.
Shape, Dr. Ken. You can afford to. You know, I'm just.
Yeah, I got there. I got a few years on you. You know, metabolism slows down a bit.
It's going to be 67 degrees in Dallas on Friday. So, you know, sun's out, guns out. I got to be ready.
You got guns? Anyway,
thanks for
listening. I guess this is our inaugural show on 620, our second week on 101.7 The Truth. So we'll see you. In about a week or so.
Have a great week, y'all. We love you.
Make sure you hit us on X and everywhere on 620 WTMJ and 101.7 The Truth. Hey, God bless. Take care. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you, Dr. Ken. Love you.
Appreciate you.
Love y'all. Embrace difference.
All right. Thank you, Evan. Make your week count.